Hello, everyone. This is Father Alejandro, and this is my reflection for the Gospel that we read on the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time on February the 12th, 2023. We read Matthew chapter 5, a 20-verse chunk of Matthew 5 that begins with Jesus admonishing the disciples. He's warning them. He first says that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And yet somehow he says this while often ignoring or circumventing many of the enumerated laws of the faith that he professed. But he gets to what exactly he means. He says, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He accuses them all the time of being hypocrites. But it's a warning to us. Make sure that the law of God that's supposed to be written in your heart, make sure that you understand and live out its purpose, not just the letter of the law. Its purpose, not just the letter of the law. That's the first admonition. But then he continues why this is important. The rest of the passages are him playing out for us how that should look like in our life. So the first example he tackles is he says, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But then he begins to walk back the chain of decisions and events that lead to the, well, I shouldn't have killed him. He begins that, you shall not kill. Great. But then he takes a step back and he goes, whoever is angry, because you didn't get to kill your brother without first being angry at him. But then he takes a further step back. Well, how did we get to being angry enough to kill him? Well, we traded insults. Whoever says to his brother, oh. Well, how did we get to trading insults? He takes another step back. He's letting them see. He's opening for them the chain of decisions and events that lead us, when we are not principled about the law of God and truly living it and instilling our hearts and letting them be written in our hearts, instilling in our hearts that sense of wanting to do God's will first more than my own. He's showing them what happens. The further step back is, whoever says, you fool, great. Well, he takes another step back. I didn't get to kill him before I was angry. And I didn't get angry until we traded insults. And we didn't trade insults until I thought him a fool. And I didn't think him a fool until we had a disagreement. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. What's he saying? We do not end up at our bigger, most destructive decisions, at our most insane and awful sins in one go. They are usually the compounding effect of undealt with sin and temptation. It began small. It got bigger, I still didn't deal with it, and it got even bigger, and I still didn't deal with it, and then it got bad enough that I did something irreparable. How did we end up at the kill? At the murder? Well, because I got angry. How did we end up angry? Because we traded insults. How did we end up trading insults? Because I thought him a fool. How did I end up thinking of him like a fool? Because we had a first disagreement that we didn't deal with. That we never forgave. That we never talked about. And I kept going about my life like it was nothing. I kept patting myself in the back. I kept going to the altar, offering my gift to the Lord. Never dealing with the simmering break, the simmering anger, the simmering, the developing fracture between me and that other person, that brother of mine, that neighbor of mine, that spouse of mine, those children of mine, that neighbor of mine, that friend of mine, that coworker of mine. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. Because how do you end up there? That's why he starts with the law. If you do not live it, truly live it, not just fulfill it by taking, oh, well, I fulfilled the letter of the law. I didn't kill, but I certainly didn't mend fences with my brother. Well, if I don't mend fences, I'll end up at the kill eventually. But he takes it even further back. When he begins to deal with, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. He deals with the most common form of lack of discernment that we deal with as human beings. He begins to talk about marriage and divorce. The reason he deals with this and ends with it can be summarized by what he says at the very end. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. What's he talking about? He's getting at what is at the heart of every great sin of ours, of every great mistake of ours, a lack of proper, honest discernment. You see, as Christians, we're endowed with mental, spiritual, physical capacities. First and foremost of all of those is the ability to communicate with God and to think through things, to take in information, to discuss it with others, to question our own motivations, to question our own feelings, to bring all of it back to God, to let go of what we want and take on what He wants. The capacity to truly discern. That's what discernment is. A conversation with God in which I have done the work of informing myself as best I can and of dealing with and becoming aware of what's going on with me and with others and the people that are going to be affected possibly by that decision. And then with as full a picture as I can, then I come into the conversation with God knowing that He sees more than me. That He loves more than me, more perfectly than me, more abundantly than me. That He wants what's best for me more than me. And so, what happens? He talks about marriage, divorce, and adultery. Because he's saying, heck, even the most important decisions of life, like who you're going to share a life with, how often did we make those decisions and we said yes without knowing what that yes really entailed, what we were really saying yes to? How often did we say yes because we were attracted to the person, but we didn't actually look at their character? How often do we allow ourselves to be swept by emotion? You remember how we ended up at the murder? Not with one mistake, but with an accumulation of passing mistakes, of undealt with moments and temptations. How many red flags, internal red flags, about myself and about the situation? Do I have to ignore? How many temptations do I have to pretend weren't there? How many decisions do I have to postpone? How many important decisions do I dodge? How many times I should have prayed that I didn't? How do we end up at "you shall not kill"? We ended up there because we got angry, and we ended up angry because we traded insults, and we traded insults because we said, "You fool, I didn't even give the benefit of the doubt to that person." And how did we end up thinking of that other person as a fool? Because I didn't deal with it while also coming to the altar thinking that everything was going to be all right if I just ignored it. If I just ignored it. So if I leave you with anything to reflect on, is this. Do not make any important decisions without prayer. Ever. Second, make sure, to the best of your ability, to be consistent in following the law of the Lord. Not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. What is this trying to teach me? Ask yourself, why shouldn't I do this? Why does the church say I shouldn't do this? I wonder what is the good they are trying to preserve, or the evil that they are trying to prevent me from falling into. The harm that they're trying to prevent me from doing to myself and to others. But last is this, do not ignore the small stuff. Do not ignore the small stuff. What is a small, undealt with temptation, a small, undealt with conflict can become the biggest thing that we do that's evil, that's sinful, that's destructive, and that often, if it's big enough, we can't take it back. And so, pray, discern, do not ignore what's small. Be proactive in your discernment so that when you say yes because you know what you're getting yourself into. And when you say no because you understand what you're rejecting. God bless.